Breaking Point, Part 1. You ever feel like you are at your breaking point? You feel like you're going to lose it? You feel like you can't handle it anymore? Life is like a tsunami. It's coming at you, or it's already overwhelmed you and you want to throw in the towel. All of us have experienced times in our life when we feel like we're at our breaking point. Well, before you throw in the towel, before you give up, before you walk away from the Lord, I want you to consider Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. So I invite you to turn there. Let me read the passage to you. I normally don't do this, but I want to set the context so you can see that the Apostle Paul faced those moments in his life where he felt like he was at his breaking point, and maybe you're there. He says in verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure." Notice his breaking point here. "We were under great pressure far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself." You see, he was at his breaking point. He was under great pressure, that crushing pressure. And he said it was far beyond his ability to endure, so that he even despaired of life itself. He thought he was going to die. He thought it was the end. He says, "Indeed," verse 9, "we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many." Now, in the context here, the Apostle Paul was serving and ministering to the churches in Asia Minor, which today would be modern-day Turkey. And if you read the book of Acts, you can see the three missionary journeys that the Apostle Paul took. And he traveled all over the Roman Empire, establishing churches in major centers. And Paul would often face persecution. He would often face pressure from those who hated him, particularly among the Jewish brethren. And in this particular section, he's describing to the Corinthians how he was at his breaking point. He says in verse 8, "We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed," he says, "we felt we had received the sentence of death." He was at his breaking point. Now, obviously, he doesn't say he wants to throw in the towel. He wants to walk away from God. But he was at that point where the pressure was so great that he didn't have the ability to endure himself. Maybe you're at your breaking point. Could be your health. You've suffered a debilitating disease from the time you've been young, and at times you get tired of it. You've asked God to heal you, and God has said no, and you get very weary and discouraged in the battle, and you want to throw in the towel. Or it could be that you were diagnosed recently with some type of ailment, and it's very difficult for you. You're at your breaking point. You could be at your breaking point in your marriage. Things are not going well in your marriage. You fuss and fight all the time. Maybe your spouse doesn't reciprocate love towards you. You invest in the marriage, they don't invest. And you've prayed and you've asked God to change your spouse, and no change seems to have come. Or your spouse is very self-centered. Whatever it is, you're at your breaking point in your marriage and you're very tempted to throw in the towel. For some of you, it's your job. You're on a highly stressful job. You deal with a cantankerous boss. Or there's so many demands put on you on the job, you feel like throwing in the towel, even though it is a major source of income for you. It could be your children. You're at your breaking point as a young mother. You've got a number of little children, and it seems more than you can bear trying to take care of them. Or you have a rebellious teenager or teenagers, and they've put you through difficulty. And it seems like no matter what you do, no matter what you say, nothing seems to be changing in regard to your children. For some of you, you're at your breaking point financially. You're living right on the edge. You barely have enough money to pay your bills. Or you don't have enough money to pay your bills. You're robbing Peter to pay Paul. You neglect one bill in order to pay the other. And so you feel like you're at your breaking point. Or it could be you're just going through emotional struggles. Maybe you struggle with anxiety. Maybe you struggle with depression. And you've battled depression a lot of your life. And you're struggling with suicidal thoughts. And you say to yourself, it would be easier to just throw in the towel and quit. Life can sometimes overwhelm us to where we feel we are at our breaking point. Things change in our life. Circumstances change. Things can be smooth sailing, and then all of a sudden we hit the rough waters and we feel like we're at our breaking point. How do we respond when we reach that point? Well, obviously, God doesn't want us to walk away from Him. He doesn't want us to walk away from our marriage. He doesn't want us to abandon our kids. God doesn't want us to get bitter. He doesn't want us to get angry. He doesn't want us to get into more trouble, and He definitely doesn't want us to commit suicide. Well, what does the Apostle Paul tell us here in this passage of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 on how to respond when we feel like we're at our breaking point? Let me give you some suggestions from this text that I think will help you. And obviously, this list is not exhaustive. There are many other passages of Scripture that can shed light on how to respond when we're at our breaking point. But the first thing that the Apostle Paul says to us is that we're to ask God to comfort us. We're to ask God to comfort us. He mentions this in 2 Corinthians 1, beginning in verse 3. He starts off with praise. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Why does he praise God? Why does he worship God? He calls him the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Now, there are many titles that are given to God. There are many attributes of God. We talk about God being a God of grace, a God of mercy, a God of forgiveness, a God of justice, a God of wrath, a God who is omniscient. He knows all things. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omnipotent. He has all power. But we never refer to God as a Father of compassion and a God of all comfort. And so he's praising God here because God is a God of compassion. He's not a cosmic killjoy. He's not an ogre. He's not a distant deity. He's not a being who doesn't care about his creation. He is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. And notice he says here in verse 4, who comforts us in all our troubles. You see, if God by nature is a Father of compassion and a God of all comfort, he's going to exercise that by comforting us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. You see, he's saying here that God brought comfort to him at his breaking point. In verse 5, he says, "For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation." He says, "If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer." Now, he here doesn't explicitly say that we're to ask God for comfort, but that's implied here because God is a God of compassion. God is a God of all comfort, and he comforts us in our troubles. You say, well, doesn't God do that automatically? Sometimes he does, but I think we need to ask God. We need to say, "God, you are a God of compassion. You are a God of comfort. You know my situation. You know my difficulty. You know I'm at my breaking point. Lord, I'm asking you to bring me a source of comfort." And God uses a lot of different things to comfort us. It could be when you open your Bible, there is a passage that has your zip code. And God speaks to you very, very clearly, and he brings you comfort and lets you know that he will never leave you nor forsake you, and that he's there for you. God sometimes uses a change of circumstances. He extricates us from the difficulty that we're in. Many times God uses other people as a source of comfort to us. That's why it's so critical that we are in community with the body of Christ, that we are in fellowship with other believers. James 5 says we're to confess our sins to one another, we're to pray for one another so that we may be healed. We see an example of how God uses other people to comfort us in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 5 through 7, same book. Here's what the Apostle Paul says: "For when we came into Macedonia," which is northern Greece, Corinth would be southern Greece, this is Macedonia. He says, "When I went to Macedonia, we had no rest." He was struggling, but we were harassed at every turn, at his breaking point. Conflicts on the outside, and then he says, fears within. See, the Apostle Paul struggled just like you and I struggle. He says in verse 6, though, "But God who comforts the downcast." See, he mentions there that God is a God of comfort. He comforts the downcast, and he comforted us, here it is, by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. He told us about your longing for me, your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever. You know what brought Paul comfort was the news that Titus brought to him. Titus was one of his emissaries in the faith. Titus, in a sense, was part of Paul's apostolic team, and he would dispatch Titus to take care of churches that he had planted, or maybe there were problem issues. And so Titus came back and gave Paul a good report, and that brought Paul comfort. See, Titus was the instrument. And just at the right time, God often uses other people to bring comfort into our life. It could be a friend. It could be a child. It could be a note, an email, a letter, whatever it is. God will often comfort us with a change of circumstances, a passage of scripture. He will use whatever means, and he many times uses other people to be a source of encouragement in our life. That's why the Bible says iron sharpens iron. It's dangerous as a Christian to isolate yourself. When you're going through that period in your life where maybe you're at a breaking point, sometimes the last thing we want to do is we want to be yoked together with other people, and I understand that. But it's so critical that we know other people that will be there for us, that will comfort us, that will strengthen us. And even if we, at the moment, don't have access to other people, God has ways of comforting us. So if you're at your breaking point, because God is a God of comfort, you need to ask God to comfort you. Don't be afraid to come to the Lord and say, "Lord, I need comfort right now. I need you to comfort me in my troubles. I need you to give me a word of encouragement. Lord, I feel like throwing in the towel. I feel like I'm at my breaking point. Lord, I need some encouragement here." And God will choose the means and the method by which he will comfort you. Don't assume that God is necessarily going to get you out of the circumstance. Many times God does not. Paul had that thorn in the flesh, and he prayed 3 times that God would remove it, and it wasn't removed, but God was able to give Paul encouragement in the midst of his thorn in the flesh. And so the first response, if you're at your breaking point, is to ask God to comfort you. The second response is focus on helping others. In verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 1, he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles." God comforts us. He sustains us. He encourages us to keep running the race with endurance. Why? Here it is. So that, verse 4, we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. See, when you're going through a difficult time, you're at your breaking point, and God comforts you and God sustains you, God wants you to turn around and he wants you to help others when they're in need. He wants you to be the instrument of comfort towards somebody else. Now, it may not be right then and there when you're at your breaking point, But when God delivers you or God sustains you and God gives you comfort in the midst of your difficulty, God wants you to take the comfort that you get from the Lord, and He wants you to be a comfort carrier. He wants you to help others in their need. He says in verse 5, "For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ," see, they persecuted Paul. What they intended to do to Christ, Christ isn't here, so they ended up inflicting their punishment upon Paul, and he shared abundantly in the sufferings of Christ because he was a representative of Christ. And listen, as representatives of Christ, they're going to persecute us, Jesus said in John chapter 15. He says, "Just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. To the degree that you suffer, is to that degree you get comfort." He says in verse 6, "If we are distressed," watch this, "it is for your comfort and salvation." You say, why? Because when Paul suffered and he was distressed and God comforted him, he was able to comfort the Corinthians. You see, when God ministers to me and God strengthens me, that becomes a ministry opportunity for me to help other people. My trial not only becomes my testimony, but my trial becomes the opportunity for me to get in the trenches with other people and be a source of encouragement. If you lost a baby and you miscarried, you're going to be a greater source of comfort to another woman who lost her child due to a miscarriage than a man would be, because a man doesn't fully understand. If you've lost a child in their teenage years, you're going to be able to comfort another parent who lost their child as well. Or maybe you lost your spouse. Or maybe you're going through some physical affliction and God has comforted you. You're going to be able to be a source of encouragement and strength to someone else who is going through some physical ailment. He says, "If we are distressed," verse 6, "it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you," here it is, "patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer." See, when you're a source of encouragement to others and you're a comfort carrier, you know what that does? It produces in that person patient endurance. Because people, when they reach their breaking point, they don't want to endure. They want to throw in the towel. And you come alongside them and you help them to patiently endure the suffering that they're going through. God wants to use all of us to minister to other people. Again, I repeat, this is why God doesn't want us to isolate ourselves. I understand the church may have burned you. Maybe you're leery of institutional Christianity, I get it. But at minimum, you need to be gathered with a group of believers where you have fellowship with one another. The word is studied. Read Acts 2:42. It says the early church gathered regularly. They studied the apostles' doctrine. They prayed. They took communion together. They shared meals together. And so this idea of renegade Christianity where I can worship God on my own is not scriptural. We're all called to be accountable to a local church. Hebrews 10 says we're not to neglect assembling together. And see, that's so important because it's in the context of community and relationships that I'm able to not only receive comfort, but I'm also able to give comfort to other people. He says in verse 7, "And our hope for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort." And so, when you're going through that period in your life where you're at a breaking point, not only ask God to comfort you, but ask yourself this question: how can I be a benediction to somebody else? How can I focus on helping others? I understand you may not be able to do it in that minute of crisis, or maybe you're at your breaking point, but I'll tell you what, when you get your eyes on other people and you focus in on serving other people and you give to other people, you know what that does? That replenishes you. It is a catch-22 because if you give yourself constantly to other people in ministry and comforting them, it can drain you. But on the other hand, when we take our eyes off ourselves and our problems and our situation, and we're able to help other people and we're able to serve other people, it's amazing how our focus shifts and God is able to use us. And so we got to make sure that we don't get so focused on our problems, our difficulties, and our situation that we neglect others. I understand that timing is an issue here. And there's a season for everything. Sometimes we do need to be alone. Sometimes we do need to pray. Sometimes we do need to isolate for a season. I get it. But I also know There are Christians that focus so much on licking their own wounds, and they're constantly at this breaking point where they totally block other people out, and they're not interested in helping other people. God wants you to take your pain, and he wants you to use it for good. He doesn't want you to sit soaking sour. He doesn't want you to spend years in isolation, licking your wounds. Now, obviously, God feels your pain. He suffers with you. And I understand everyone processes pain differently. But ultimately, God wants us to be comfort carriers. He wants us to take the trial, the difficulty, the breaking point that we've gone through, how God has delivered us, and he wants us to focus on helping others. Paul says, ultimately, my suffering is going to be a blessing to you, Corinthians, because when God comforts me, I'm able to turn around and I'm able to comfort you when you're in the midst of persecution. And so I want to encourage you, get your eyes off yourself and begin to help others. Helping others can encourage you and can actually lift you. It says in the book of Acts, it is more blessed to give than receive. And I think we all know this. How many times have you served or helped somebody else and you walked away receiving the greater blessing? Because you were able to bless somebody else and you were able to help them in the midst of their problem and their need. So maybe you're at your breaking point. You want to throw in the towel. You want to quit. The Apostle Paul says, don't do that. Number one, he says, ask God to comfort you. Secondly, focus on helping others. Thirdly, you need to cry out to God and depend on him for strength. Cry out to God and depend on him for that supernatural strength. He says in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. Now, this would be modern-day Turkey. He says to the Corinthians, I don't want you to be ignorant or uninformed about what we suffered in the province of Asia. He doesn't tell us specifically what he suffered, but he said we were under great pressure. We were feeling the crushing weight of the difficulty. When I was in seminary, I worked at a warehouse that distributed textbooks to all the South Carolina schools. And we would get shipments in of books, and we would have to take them out of the boxes. And of course, the boxes would build up. And so we had one of these contraptions or machines where you would put the boxes in it, and you would press a button, and down would come this compression, and it would crush the boxes. It exerted pressure. And that's exactly what Paul was feeling. He was under this great pressure, far beyond his ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. He says, indeed, we had received the sentence of death. But notice what he says here. And this is where we need to cry out to God and depend on him for supernatural strength. He said, but this happened. All my difficulties, all of my struggle to endure, he says, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He says, ultimately, I may not have a reason why God caused this or allowed it, but he says, in a generic sense, I know that this happened that I might not rely on myself, but on God who raises the dead. And isn't that what trials do? When we're at our breaking point, when we feel like we cannot go anymore, it forces us to rely on God and not ourselves, because we all tend to be self-sufficient. We all tend to rely on self. And we need to be broken of the self-life. One of God's greatest tools to break us of our sinful independence is to use difficulty, because when you're going through difficulty and you're at your breaking point, it forces you to say, God, I cannot do this. God, I need supernatural strength. That's why at the end he says, but this happened that we may not rely on ourselves, but on God. Notice he says, who raises the dead. You see, ultimately, God has the power to raise the dead. And if he has the power to raise the dead, he has the power to strengthen you in the midst of your difficulty. But you need to cry out to God. And you need to say, God, I humble myself before you. Lord, I cannot do this on my own. I cannot rely on my own resources, my strength. Lord, I need you. I depend on you completely to give me the strength and the resources to get through this difficulty. I'm at my breaking point. And many times trials in life force us, forces us to our knees. In fact, not only do we have the strength of the Holy Spirit, but we also have the Spirit interceding for us. In Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, he says this: in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, when we're at that breaking point, we're weak. We don't know what we ought to pray for. We don't know the will of God. We need wisdom. We don't know how to pray. Sometimes we're so broken, we're at our breaking point. We don't know how to articulate what we're feeling. So the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanless words. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit knows our mind. The Holy Spirit knows our heart. Because he says, and he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. You see, the Spirit is our divine interpreter. The Spirit knows what we're struggling with. The Spirit knows how to articulate what we cannot articulate. And the Spirit is there to strengthen us, to give us wisdom, and to intercede for us according to the will of God. See, that's not relying on ourselves. When we come to God and we say, God, I can't. I need wisdom. I need strength. I need power. Or I'm about to fall apart at the seams. We know that that moment the Holy Spirit is interceding for us according to the will of God. Because God has the power. He raised Jesus from the dead. And if he raised Jesus from the dead, he's able to give us the strength to endure. And so we must cry out to God and depend on him for strength. Now, next time, I'm going to further expand this. I'm going to use an illustration in the Old Testament where God often uses those breaking point moments in our life to teach us dependency on him, which is a good thing. And so if you're at that breaking point, what does God want you to do? Well, the Apostle Paul gives us some great advice. He says, number one, ask God to comfort you. Number two, focus on helping others. And number three, which we'll expand next time, cry out to God and depend on him for strength.